I do want to thank those who have come our way, those who are traveling. I did fail to mention that hymn number 690 is our invitation hymn. It will be sung at the conclusion of the service. Those who are traveling, some are already on their way elsewhere, but know that it's proper for God's people to gather together, to sing songs of praise, to fellowship and together, and to hear God's word proclaimed. And we're glad that you're here. We're going to discuss something today that is important. And it's something that, unless the Lord returns, we're all going to face it. And we need to be well informed. We're going to begin by turning to our text, Psalms 39. If you will, turn there. We're going to see what the Spirit had the psalmist write in this particular portion. Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measures of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best estate is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as well, or as all my fathers were. There are so many things in life that are beyond our grasp to comprehend. There are many things in this life that are difficult to deal with, and death is one of those things. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the phrase, "and he died," is found 22 times in the King James Bible. Sadly, death occurs daily. When it does, it affects families. It affects friends. It affects situations. We attend a funeral to see that someone who was once full of life and energy is now still lying in a casket. Or attended a memorial service of one recently departed from this life. And we ask, why did it happen? We want explanations, and these explanations oftentimes can't be given. We don't know why some people die when they die, but we know that people die. Unless you've been living under a rock or have had your head buried in the sand, by now at least you've heard of the recent assassination of a young man on a college campus. Answers are sought. The responsible parties were sought. And invariably, someone makes the response, perhaps it was his time to go. I recently, sitting in a dentist chair with fingers in my face where I couldn't respond, heard the assistant say to the dentist, oh yeah, and he was only 17. And the dentist responded without ever looking up, without ever changing. Thank goodness he didn't alter his position there. He said, well, the Lord had plans for him. As soon as I was able to respond, I said, you know, the Lord has the same plan for everybody. He's written in a book and he's given it to us. All we got to do is follow it. I don't know that it meant anything to the people, but their idea is that God took this young man. Is that what God's word tells us? That there is a set or predetermined time for each of us? Perhaps a look into God's word will help us to better handle this aspect of our time here on earth. First, I want to point out that to live is to die. If you had the privilege of being born, you will face death again, unless the Lord returns. If you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, we see that living means eventually each of us are going to die. Many people have read this passage and they have misapplied it. When it says that there is an appointment, it doesn't mean that there is a set time, that there is a moment in time in which your number will be up. The penman there was directed to write, and is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. We don't have a set time. We don't have a specific date that our life will be over. But we need to know that death is a reality. I got on an airplane one time. The man sitting beside me didn't fly much. He was very nervous. And he said, "I really hope that my number's not called today." I knew I wasn't standing in a deli line, and so I said, "You must be talking about death." And he said, "Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, when my time comes, I just hope it's not today." And I said, "I hope it's not the pilot's day." Think about it. According to 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 7 through 11a, David once had the opportunity to stop Saul from seeking his death by killing Saul as he slept. Did David imply in this situation and in these scriptures that there was a set day for Saul to die? No, he didn't. And we know this because he listed other ways that Saul might die that did not require that David take his life. You see, David had a great deal of respect for God. And David had a great deal of respect for God's choice for king of Israel, even though Saul was trying to kill him. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth thine hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed." Everybody's going to die, and people are going to die in different ways, and people are going to die at different times. Some people are taken, as people say, well, they died before their time. You know what? Accidents happen. Fish are caught in a net, just as we read in our scripture reading. To live is to die. Sometimes people say, "Well, I don't have anything to look forward to in this life." Yes, you do. And if you prepared for it, you have a lot to look forward to. But to live is to die. But we also must understand that life is short. We're always reminded of this at funerals, aren't we? We're often reminded of this in life. Brother Brandon used to sit right over here, and I mentioned one time that I oftentimes read the obituaries, and just quick as a wink, he said, "What, are you looking for your own name?" No, but it does make me realize that young and old pass from this life. Life is very short. In Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 and 5, David desired to know the length of his life, but he was not asking to know when he would die. You know, nobody knows when this is going to occur. But he wanted to keep in his mind that life is short. He said, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am." You see the point here? He says, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. Stop it and think about it. With one who is forever, what is time? It means nothing. And though we might think, well, I'm getting old, or I've been lived a long time, or something of that nature. What did David say? My Lord, my days are just a handbreadth. Mine age is as nothing before thee. David faced many difficulties. David came close to death on many occasions. Yet, he was granted to live to an old age. We hear of people who drastically change their behavior after a close call, a close brush with death. You ever wonder why that is? Perhaps they came face to face with mortality. They realized, you know what? It could be over any time. We all need an attitude such as this, because our choices in life would greatly change if we truly realized and focused upon the fact that no matter how much time we've been granted up to this point, we don't know how much we have left. Turn with me to Psalms 89, verses 47 and 48. And though man sometimes cheats death, or it seems as though he does, an accident happens, and people look at the accident and the result of the accident and say, there's no way somebody walked away from that. And you're talking to someone, and they say, yeah, I did. But man does not have the capacity to continually cheat death. Eventually, the grim reaper comes for us all. The psalmist knew this, and we would be wise to remember it. Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? No, life is not infinite. God has put a limit to our lifespan. He's also adjusted that limit a time or two. I've talked to people and they say, well, there's no way in the world people live 900 years old. Do you know how long 900 years is? Well, turn to the passage and read it. About this one was 935 years old and he died, and this was 965 years old and he died. It was definitely a 24-hour day, a 365-day year, and they lived that amount of time. But in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 10, we see the final adjustment, but it's still a short time, especially as we draw nearer that age. He says, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Without raising your hands, I ask a question here. How many of us know somebody that's 90 plus years old? Some of them vibrant, strong, sharp minds. Just because it says our years are 70, or if they be 80, doesn't mean that as we approach 80 that we are on the brink of death. James chapter 4 and verse 14 is a New Testament corresponding verse, and we'll see that the brevity of life has not changed. There's not a guarantee there. We may live longer than 80 years or 90 years, but we may live a lot less. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Notice also that our lifestyle practices can impact a person's life. Bad habits and that kind of thing. Poor choices. 70 or 80 is not a guarantee, but it's a general rule of thumb. And people say, well, you know, with all the modern medical advances that we have, men should live longer. Stop and think about it. Look at obituaries. Even with modern medical advances, people still die around 80 years old. And some are going to live longer, but some are going to die sooner. Turn with me to Job chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. God has placed limits on our lives. No, he doesn't take anyone. But Job, in the face of all of his adversity and the tribulation he had to face, he said, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." You know, God knows the time of our arrival. He knows the time of our departure. He knows everything about us. But he does not choose the time of our death. So to live is to die. We have to understand that life is short. But we need to be aware also that all of our actions must be taken while in this short life. Do you have something to do? Get after it. Do it now. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. It tells us that now, in this life, is when everything and anything that we attempt to do must be done. And we are to go about it with vigor. The wise man was directed to write, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, no device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." We're all going to a place and a situation where we can do nothing relative to this realm. But we must also realize, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, that our time here on earth is a gift from God. It's a gift from God whereby we have the opportunity to choose, to work, and to enjoy the benefits of that labor. I think sometimes people get it confused. They say, "Well, look at all that I've done." That's not it at all. Look at all that God has permitted me to accomplish. Look at the abilities that God has given me. There we read, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good, and it is comely for one to eat and drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he hath taken under the sun all the days of his life, which God hath given him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." I don't think we can look at life and honestly say that God has not richly given to all. But some, they want the blessings, but they don't want to do what God would have done. But this is part of God's general providence for all. And some choose properly, and some choose poorly. Those who suffer poorly will suffer eternity following this life. I'm reminded of the words of the suffering servant in Job 21:21. And it showed that so many people are selfish. They don't think about the impact of their own shortened life upon others. Job, perhaps contemplating that, he said, "For what pleasure hath he in his house after him, when the number of his months is cut off in the midst? Wicked and evil alike grieve when a loved one passes from this familiar realm." And contrary to popular belief, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6, those that are departed have no clue about what is occurring here on earth. I've heard so many times that I cannot even remember or count that high. That people have told others at funerals that so-and-so is looking down on you. That's not what God's word teaches. Solomon was directed to write, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun." That which they could do, they did. That which they might accomplish, if it was going to be accomplished, it had to be in this life. And it's wrong to tell folks that their departed loved ones are watching over them. I know sometimes that people will tell their children that grandma or grandpa is looking down on them, maybe to keep the children walking the straight and narrow. Don't know if it's effective, but it's definitely wrong. These people that are looking, or these people that have gone on, that are not looking down upon us, they can't change our decisions. They can't live our lives for us. They can't dictate anything. They can't warn us in regard to our improper choices. Just a brief reading of Luke chapter 16 ought to help us when we see the rich man and Lazarus. Why, the rich man, having awakened in torment, wanted somebody to go back and warn his brethren. And Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 17 shows that it is possible for the wicked to die early. The warning is clear. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Everyone's choices, foolish or sound, are made in this realm. We can't make choices after we leave. Therefore, the question needs to be asked while we're here, while we're alive, while we're able to receive the question and respond, are we prepared to leave? Then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and it makes one thing abundantly clear. Eventually, there will come a time to leave the earth, just as there was a time for us to arrive. The question is, will we be ready whenever that time comes? To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. There are other things that are listed in the subsequent verses. But any time given after we reach the age of accountability is given so that we can become prepared to meet God. Stop and think about it. The opportunities are abundant. We don't know when it will be our time, but we can be certain that it will come. And if we're not ready, it will be too late. Just as certain as we are that we're going to die one day, we can be equally certain that this world will come to an end. There's a lot of speculation about that as well. Every time there's a big hunk of rock out there in space that happens to move a little bit toward the trajectory of the earth, what do people do? Oh, we're going to be destroyed. Don't worry about that. God's taking care of it, and he's told us about it. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And as Peter was directed to write this, it provides inspired truth that we needn't worry about man destroying the planet because God's going to take care of it according to his time frame. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's fact. Now, based upon that fact, the question is asked, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Are we ready? Job. And Job 9, verses 25 and 26 pointed out how swift this life happens. You know, we're going to read the scripture, we're going to look at it and everything, but just stop and think about it. Some of us have celebrated a number of years, but think how quickly it's flown. And sure, we have memories of when we were young, when we were strong, when we were better than we are now physically, for whatever reason. But what did Job say? Now my days are swifter than a post. They fly away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey. Time is going to run out, individually and collectively. But just as we never know when a thief might target us, we never know when our life will end or when the Lord will return. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we see this. And we see The Apostle Paul warning these brethren as the Spirit gave him these words, words that needs to be heeded, especially today when so many are thinking that they have life under control, that they're doing whatever it is that makes them happy and expecting that happiness to go on into eternity and not consulting the Word of God. Paul wrote, "But of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. But when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." You know, there are some people that are looking forward to the Lord's return. Why? Because they're ready. Because they know that this life will be over. That pain and suffering will be in the past. That we are doing what God has said to do. But do you know how they know they're ready? They go to the Word of God. And they ask the question, what does God want me to do with my life? How does God want me to live my life so that I might live forever with Him? That's a warning to get ready and stay ready. I think a huge injustice is being done. People are preaching that they must be baptized into Christ. They're preaching that, and yes, it should be preached. Don't get me wrong. But there's more beyond becoming a child of God. You have to remain faithful. You have to continue to serve God. And that doesn't mean how we think we should serve God. That means how God says we should serve Him. According to His Word. When you stop and think about it, what is going to judge us? Not what we think, but what God said. We should know that now is the time to prepare for the end. We should be honest with ourselves. Here's something. If you're as honest with yourself now as God will be, or Christ will be as He will be the judge on the day of judgment, we're going to do some real soul seeking, soul searching. We're going to do what we can to make sure that we are ready in accordance to God's Word. And whether the end for us is at our death or the return of the Lord, we're going to seek to be ready. It does remain certain that they will arrive. The question is asked, so how should we behave during what time we have left? Whatever it is. As children of God, Christians, we're to warn folks that their time also will come. That time comes for everyone. If they are not ready, they have lived a life for naught. We should go to our brethren who are struggling and warn them. Because if they have obeyed the gospel and then allowed themselves to become entangled again in the world, Peter tells us the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They've lived a life for naught. That soul that once occupied that body will be relegated to pain and suffering for eternity. None should have to face that. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10 reminds that even Christians have a time to go. But also that there's going to be a judgment. And the way that we've lived in our lives will determine where we spend eternity. That's why we must be ready. That's why we must stay ready. No. It was not this young man's time to go. But death occurred. in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. I leave you with this thought. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And this is written to Christians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. God has a plan. We hear that all the time. But we need to complete that statement. God has a plan whereby all can make preparation in this life to prepare for when it is their time to go. That plan is extremely simple. It's one that needs to be followed. It's one that needs to be repeated. Matter of fact, those of us who are members of the body of Christ should repeat it so frequently that we know it. Because that's what we need to tell people. What would God have me do? What are you going to say? Live your life like God would have you live it? That's too subjective, isn't it? In the minds of a lot of people, it is. But when those people ask that question on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Spirit provided Peter with the words and the apostles with the words to say. And he's provided for us the words in his word. One must hear the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One must also believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the teaching relative to this began even before Jesus Christ died upon Calvary's cross. For in John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. One must also repent of sin. Luke 13:3-5 makes it very clear. Jesus himself said, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. But that still doesn't save someone, because one must also confess that which they believe, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice something there? You've not gotten there yet. Unto salvation, toward salvation. Because one is not saved until they are baptized into Christ. And no, they are not saved eternally, regardless of what they do, regardless of how they live their lives. They're saved at that moment. But 1 Peter 3:21, the first part says, the like figure whereinto even baptism doth also now save us. That's because one is required also to remain faithful until death. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, we see that those Jews that had obeyed the gospel, that were in danger of going back and trying to go back under the old law, were told, see that you receive not, refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. God has spoken to us in his word. His word came from heaven. It directs us how to live. It directs us how to obey him. It directs us how also to call those who are in error, who have forsaken, who have fallen back into sin, back to the right. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, Simon was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. I ask you a question today. Are you ready to die? Because if you're not, and it does happen, you'll never be ready. When do we need to make up our minds? Right now. How do we do so? We prepare to meet God. I've outlined God's plan for salvation. If there are any here who have not obeyed the gospel, now is the time and here's the place. The water is ready, and we're willing and able to assist you. If indeed you have obeyed the gospel and there's unrepented sin in your life, it needs to be addressed. And it needs to be addressed before you leave the building. because we know not what may befall us. If you're a child of God and you have unrepented sin, repent and pray. Why don't you do these things as together we stand and sing the selected hymn.